Can everybody hear me? Beth, can you hear me back there? You can? Okay, good. Okay, everybody. So we're going to move into our second teaching now. Sounds like you had a lot of fun in your discussion. That's cool. Okay. Okay, so turn to page 4 in your outline. By the way, I know I've met so many of you, but those who I haven't met, my name is Pat Naunton, and I'm on staff here with Father Dale at St. Patrick's. So I'm happy to see you all. Glad you're all here. Hope to see you next week and the week after. Because these teachings kind of build on one another as far as the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are concerned. Okay, so number one says, we have a lot to cover here, so I'm going to try to be efficient and go through it without too much side talk. What are spiritual gifts? So the spiritual gifts are acts of the Holy Spirit to give grace for the purpose of ministry that take place in the body of Christ. So when we say grace, what do we mean by grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor that the Lord brings to us. It isn't something we deserve. It's something that he gives to each of us because he loves us. Because if you ask him, Lord, bring me your favor, he will. He will bring you favor for whatever it is you need, because that's his nature, because he does that out of love for his people. It's like if you have kids or somebody you're thinking of in your family that you love a whole lot, and they ask you for something, you want to help them, don't you? You want to provide for them. Why? Because you love them. And it's the same thing with the Lord. So he gives us grace, unmerited favor. Another way of looking at grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. God the Father's righteousness is poured down on us because of what Christ did for us, because of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. Okay, so the source. Who is the source, or what is the source of the gifts? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the giver of the gifts. Who are the recipients of the gift? You and me, the body of Christ, are those that receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What is the essence of the gifts? The gifts are given to manifest grace, that unmerited favor, to manifest that grace to bring healing to God's people, to bring salvation, to tell them about salvation, pray with them for salvation, and to strengthen them for their journey here on earth. That is the essence. That's what the gifts are made of, the essence of the gifts. And so what's the purpose of the gifts? Well, the purpose is to build up the church. To build up the church is the people of God. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about the people of God is the church. So we're talking about building up the church to glorify God, to glorify God, to bring glory to him, to make him present in our life and in the lives of others today. Now, what is the language of the gifts? If you look at letter B, the language of the gifts. So, Catholics do the acts of the Christians, which is to serve, which is to share their faith, which is to pray with others, which is to feed the poor and counsel the doubtful. Now, not only Catholics do. If you're sitting there, and you may not be part of the Catholic faith, whatever your church is, this is what Christians do. This is what the body of Christ is called to do, to bring God alive and well and here and present on earth, and to help other people. Gifts are the anointing of the Holy Spirit given to us to empower our role of doing the acts that Christians do. In other words, we're called to do it. Oftentimes, we're not able to do it in our own strength. We don't know how. We feel weak in light of what we're called to do. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit strengthens us and gives us the ability to do what the Lord has called us to do. When the Lord calls, the Holy Spirit enables, the Holy Spirit empowers. So if you're looking at some of these gifts and thinking, oh no, not me, oh no, I don't think this one, and nothing comes up for you, you know, it's because you're looking at it through your own strength. through our human eyes, not our spiritual eyes. You know, we talk here at St. Patrick's about the heavens being open. You know, that's part of the Our Father. You know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heavens are open for us through what Jesus Christ did for us, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost. The heavens are open, and so everything, the gifts that are manifest in heaven, the strength, the love, the care, the compassion, the comfort, all those things that are in heaven are for us here on earth. Amen? So the gifts are the anointing of the Spirit to empower our role of doing the acts. So we will have everything that we need because the Holy Spirit will enable us and will strengthen us. What about ministries? The increase of the occasion of certain gifts come through ministries and their fruitfulness in the lives of others. Now, that doesn't mean that you only have these gifts when you're doing a certain ministry. If you ask the Lord for, let's say, for the gift of his word, that when you're praying with people, you feel like you want to be able to bring what's knowledge that's greater than your own. You know, and you pray for that. You pray for the prophetic gifts. Lord, bless me. Give me the favor of your prophetic gifts and give me the strength to yield to it. If we ask and if we're willing to yield, we will receive it. We will receive it. We go with that attitude. We go with that faith. It's faith, believing in those things you have not yet seen. Even if you've never done it before, if you, like, you hear the teaching, you have some sense of what this is all about, you have a passion in your heart, as Father Dale talked about earlier, that I really want to do this, I want to pray with people, and I want to be able to bring them a word that will live in their hearts forever, you know, the Lord will give that to you. So you pray, say, for that gift of prophecy. It doesn't mean that you'll only have it in that minute when you're praying for that person. The more you yield and speak the gift, the more your gift will grow. It can be, prophecy can be spoken in a group such as this, in the midst of praise and worship. It can be spoken later on, we're going to have personal ministry. It can be spoken at a time like that. It can be spoken to a friend if you're meeting with a friend who's having a particular problem. The Lord will bring to your mind, make certain to you that this is the word. This is what I'd like you to say. So, the gifts also come to us as we feed the poor. We pray for the gifts to be involved. If you're going off to do it, yes, Lord, show yourself through your gifts. Bring your word to me. Give me your love for these people. Let me say what they really need to hear. Open the heavens before me, above me, so that I can minister to them just as you would. Other gifts will be manifested, as I just said, such as the prophetic gift. The prophetic gift is simply telling a person what you believe the Lord wants them to know. It always, always confirms what's said in Scripture. It never, ever contradicts Scripture in any way. It's never accusatory. It never accuses anybody of anything. It's always to build the person up. It's always for edification. And it's always said in love. If you ever hear somebody say anything that's supposed to be prophetic and it doesn't meet that criteria, or you say, that doesn't sound like the Scriptures to me, or that doesn't sound like the Jesus I know, that doesn't sound right, then you can be sure that that's not authentic prophecy. So, you know, we have pure prophecy, we have something called non-prophecy, and we have false prophecy. Well, to be talking about those three next week, we'll be zeroing in more on the gift of prophecy. But in all the things we do, we can expect the gifts to be made manifest. When we share our faith, we share like what happened to us where we grew closer to the Lord, or what happened that I'm involved in this ministry. I went to a group last night after my husband passed. I had joined this group called Grief Share, where people meet and who have recently lost someone. You've been there too. It's very nice. You watch a tape that gives information from different doctors or people who have lost someone. Then you sit around and talk about it. And I go now and then just to meet with the new people and so forth. And last night, this man, he's about 45 years old, he came over to me. I had shared my my story about how it was, what happened, and how it is today, as far as my relationship with the Lord is concerned. And I shared that with him, and at the end, when everybody was leaving, he came over, and he started to cry. And he said, I need you to pray. I need you to pray with me. I'm really having problems. So I said, Scott, just sit down. So he sat down, and I said, I'm going to pray with you now. It used to be when people would say, will you pray for me? I'd say, yes, I'll keep you in prayer. You know, now I know what I really should do is, if it's at all possible, to pray then when somebody is for prayer. And it was possible. And so he sat down, and I prayed with him. And I felt like, you know, the Lord wanted him to know that he had somebody really special in his life, and that to keep his heart open and you know, not to give up, that the Lord has a destiny for him. And I shared what I felt the Lord was saying, and he said, that's exactly what I've been feeling, but I didn't think it was real. So what had happened was then just what I shared with him kind of confirmed for him that the Lord was speaking to him, that he was hearing the Lord in his own prayer, and that he had a bright future. So it's just wonderful to operate in the gifts and be able to help people. And you're all here because you want that. You're all here because you're interested in that. You're all here because you want to bring the love of Jesus to the people that you touch in your life. Okay, so what's the role of the Holy Spirit in ministry? So the Spirit's work. It leads us to glorify Jesus and deepen our relationship with him. In John 14:26, the word says, but the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all that I have said to you. The Spirit then reminds us of all the things we've heard Jesus say, all the things you've heard through the scriptures at the liturgies, all the things you've heard at different teachings. He seeks to bring the individuals to deepening holiness through service. You'll find that in 1 Peter 1:2, that we grow closer to the Lord and we grow in holiness the more we serve him. The more we minister in his name, the more we bring him through blessing, through prayer, through his word to other people. He gives the gifts to build up the body of Christ. The body of the Christ is broken in many ways. The gifts help to build up that body, help to heal the body, help to bring the body into the presence and the anointing and the love of Jesus Christ. He gives us guidance about how we're to do that. That's found in Romans 8:14. He intercedes for us. He is constantly before the throne of the Father, interceding for you and interceding for me, for what our prayer requests are, for what our needs are, for how we need to pray oftentimes. I know just the night before last, my son texted me, and our little AJ, who is 6, was really sick, and he said, Mom, he needs prayer. Pray, you know, pray for AJ. And so I did, and we did. I had other people praying too. And then today, this morning, he texted and he said he had a good night. He slept through the night and he's fine, you know, and so that builds up. You know, I'm so glad he asked for prayer because he's not a church going guy, but he asked for prayer, and that means a lot to me that he did. So his faith is still there. It gives me goosebumps just talking about it. So anyway, AJ's doing well tonight. And so that builds up the body of Christ. And it gives, like Sean and his wife, some idea that, hey, this prayer works. This stuff must really work. So that's my prayer for them, that they come really to come to know the Lord in a personal way. Okay, so the role of the prayer of tongues. It's the prayer language of the Spirit. And you know what the Lord showed me with this, as we've been teaching more, these last set of teachings we gave that ended last week, we taught a lot, Father Dale taught a lot about the open heavens, that the heavens, as I said, we pray in the Our Father, the heavens are open, and that means all the wonders of heaven, all the gifts of heaven, all the glory of heaven can be made known to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we say the heavens are open, along with that comes the heavenly language. And so the heavenly language is the gift of tongues, which happened at Pentecost. We know in the Acts of the Apostles, the scriptures tell us that they were all gathered in one room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So tongues is a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do we say that here? Because that's what it says in the Bible. That's what happened. And it enables us to maintain being filled. Because, you know, we don't only get filled once. As we live in the Holy Spirit and move in the Holy Spirit, or sometimes we may pull away, maybe sometimes we're not staying close to the Lord, we're not praying as we should, you know. Some teachers say then we leak. Some of that Holy Spirit blessing, you know, leaks out of us. And so by staying before the Holy Spirit through the gift of tongues, we get filled more and more with his presence and with his love and with his power. You'll find that in Acts 2, verse 4. You'll see it all here, 10, 44 to 46 and chapter 19, 6. Tongues is for spiritual edification. It is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ, to make God's presence known here, to make the power of the Holy Spirit known here. Before you all came, we gathered here, a couple of us gathered here at 6 o'clock to pray for you who were coming, to pray that we would say what you really needed to hear, to pray that your hearts would be open to receive, and to pray that if the Lord had anything special in the word gifts, like what's called a word of knowledge, that he would give us some knowledge of that, some information on that, which he did. And what that means, that's one of the word gifts, again, that we'll teach on next week. It means that, say, we're going to be praying later on, and that there are certain conditions that the Lord has a special anointing here tonight to heal. And so we mention those things. And if it's somebody who has that condition, they go and ask for prayer. Now, that does not mean that that's the only thing that the Lord would heal. But it's just one thing that was brought to mind that the Lord, as we have learned and studied in the scriptures, would have an anointing on for that particular night. So all of these things build us up. All of these things edify us, and all these things keep us filled with the Holy Spirit. Tongues also reminds us of the Spirit's indwelling presence within us, makes us mindful of that. You know, it's like, yeah, look, I'm really here. Listen to me. Praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. In Romans, it says the Spirit prays through us when we don't know how to pray as we should. I'm sure you've had times where you've had a situation or somebody has asked for prayer and you thought, how do I pray for that? You know, or maybe somebody like is really sick and you don't know, should I pray for heal? Is this person's time to go home to the Lord? Or should I pray that they be healed? And we don't know, and we don't have any way of discerning that. When we pray in tongues, we're submitting the smallest member of our body, which is our tongue, to the Lord, to pray through us, to pray the perfect prayer of God the Father prayed through us. And that is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful gift to have, to be able to just surrender yourself, you know, to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit pray through, knowing that he is praying that perfect prayer. He is praying whatever that person needs, his will in that person's life. Praying in tongues stimulates our faith. It helps us to believe in things we haven't yet seen. It helps us to believe in God's ability, God's presence, and it helps to wipe away any doubt that we might have in our hearts or in our mind. Praying in tongues is a means of staying free from worldly contamination. And by that, and you see the scripture reference there, by that, what the scripture means is we come in from the world. We have a lot of things on our mind from the world. You may have just listened to the news, and that has a lot of nasty things that it brings with it, things that might worry you. Or you may have talked to somebody that's having, you know, a lot of deep troubles. Whatever it is, praying in tongues enables us to pray without having to think about, well, what do I need to say to the Lord? Well, how do I need to ask him? Well, what's the best thing? We just submit our hearts and we submit our tongue and let the Lord pray through us. Praying in tongues gives spiritual refreshing. You can feel burnt out spiritually. You can feel tired of whatever it is the Lord has asked you to do. Praying in tongues can energize. It can stimulate your energies. By praying in tongues, we give perfect thanks. In 1 Corinthians 15:17, we're called to be grateful to the Lord. You know, not always to be asking, gimme, 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 have you got? You know, but to be thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord for, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of today. Thank you that you were safe, you kept me safe all through the night. And I'm walking in good health. You know, things like that it helps us not to take things for granted. It's easy to take things for granted, isn't it? And it doesn't mean so much when your child or your partner or whoever comes to you and just says, thank you for what you did today, or thank you for being you, or you know, or thank you for this nice dinner. I mean, doesn't that make you feel happy? Doesn't that make you feel good? Amen? Okay, guys. So when we are grateful to the Lord, our Father, when we're grateful, how much more then do you think we're bringing him joy? How much more do you think? If it makes us happy and makes us smile, how much more then? Do we have the ability, just think about that we have the ability to make God happy. We have the ability to make God smile by being grateful for everything he has given us, for tonight, for learning more about his Holy Spirit, for one another, as you sat and joked and laughed with one another and experienced joy and laughter. All of those little things, it helps us to be grateful and to give perfect thanks. Speaking in tongues brings the tongue under subjection. You know, there's in James, there's a whole lot said about the use of the tongue and how the tongue can be such a two-edged sword and how we can really hurt through words that are spoken through the tongue. When we submit to the gift of tongues, you know, it's pure gratefulness. It's the perfect prayer prayed through us. It's a way of settling down that tongue and submitting it to the Lord. Okay, on page 6, and on letter B, it says, praying for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, many of us, particularly those in the Catholic faith, believe that we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation, and that was gifts for us. But we often need to pray for a release of the Spirit or a new outpouring of the Spirit in our life. It's like we need to activate what's there. Sometimes I liken it to somebody gives you a dishwasher for Christmas, but you have it installed, it's plugged in, but you stand there every night and wash the dishes at the sink. You didn't activate it. It was there, but it was as if it wasn't there because you didn't use it. You still stood and washed the dishes. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We could have the Holy Spirit through those sacraments, but unless we then ask for a fresh outpouring and activate them. Activate it means know about the gifts and then act as if you have them. And then as you do that, you know, you receive more and more grace, which is that unmerited favor, more and more blessing, and you grow in the gifts. So we need to pray for a release or a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. With this comes a release of the gifts of the Spirit. If you ask the Lord. The Lord does not impose his gifts, force his gifts on any of his sons and daughters. We need to ask, and then we need to yield. Yield means to do it. Yield means to act as if we have it. You know, like we're yielding off 695 or 95. We're getting in tune with the rest of the cars. We're yielding. We're going in that same direction. In John 7:37-39, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living waters." Now this he said was about the Holy Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, regarding the Holy Spirit, there is always more of the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants to give us, that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. So wherever you think you are in your journey with the Holy Spirit, maybe you feel, you know, it was through baptism and confirmation. Maybe you were prayed with years ago, and maybe you've leaked a little bit as far as the Holy Spirit's concerned. Wherever you think you are, there is always more. You can never be overfilled. You can never have too much of the Holy Spirit. So how do I pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to have opportunities for those of you who would like, after we finish here, to come over. You see chairs sitting all around, to come over and say, "I would like a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit." And that people will know how to pray for that. We need to commit our life to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's important, to invite Jesus in as a Lord and Savior. I grew up Catholic school for 12 years, very active in the church, but it wasn't until I was 35 that somebody said to me, "Have you invited Jesus into your heart as a personal Lord and Savior?" I had never heard of that, didn't know anything about it, and so I explained that I don't know, and then they told me all about it, and I realized that, no, I had never done that. Nobody had ever asked me. I had never done it. I haven't made Jesus the Lord of my life. I remember, I've said this before, they drew a big circle on the board, and they said, "What's in the center of your circle?" "The circle represents your life, Pat. What's in the center of that?" And I said, "My husband, Herb, my sons, Michael and Sean," and I really thought I had it. I thought I was right. And they said, "Oh, no." And then they erased that, and they put the cross in the center. They said, "Jesus should be in the center of your life." And when Jesus is in the center, you will be, you know, a better wife to Herb, a better mother to Michael and Sean. And I had never heard that. That changed my life. That it did exactly what those people said. And then from there, I asked for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because I was hearing people pray in a way I had never heard before. And it was tongues. And at first, I was taken aback by it. I wasn't really anxious to jump into it. But as I kept going to these meetings, I kept hearing it and hearing it. And I knew those people had something that I didn't have. And I wanted what they had. And then what was happening was, because I gave my heart to Jesus, I was falling more and more in love with him. And I remember one day, I put the kids in for a nap, and I was in the living room with my prayer time, and I thought, I want to pray in tongues. And I tried, and I thought, I'm praying in English, and it's just going to magically change into tongues, because at that time, there wasn't much teaching about this. Well, of course, that doesn't happen. And so that didn't work. So what happened was I read more about it. Somebody had given me a book called A Glow with the Spirit. And the next day, I was sitting there with this book, A Glow with the Spirit, and it fell off my lap. And when I picked it up, it talked about this woman who was trying to yield the tongues, and she got hoarse. She was trying so much, but she was doing it the wrong way. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's me. So anyway, I did get help, and people prayed with me, and I was able to yield to the gift of tongues. And then my husband, he saw the change, and he did the same thing. And it was really a remarkable gift from the Lord. So we have that opportunity tonight, you know, to give our hearts to the Lord, invite him in. As part of that prayer of inviting him in, we just repent of any sin. You know, and you don't do that out loud. We're not here to hear your sins, but you just take a few minutes in your own heart and repent of your sins and ask for this. People will pray with you for the outpouring of the Spirit. And be prepared to yield. Be prepared to yield to the prayer language, the heavenly language, the language of praise and thanksgiving, the language of tongues, and expect the Lord. Go expecting him to give you that, if in fact you're asking for it, and if in fact, you know, that's what you want. So we're going to have an opportunity to do that. There are some questions for reflection. How does the language of gifts help you grasp how God works? What is the purpose of a new outpouring of the Spirit? And are you ready to risk? Those are things I would encourage you over this next week. You know, if you're taking some time to pray or you're looking in the Bible already, look at those questions and just answer them in your own heart as to how they relate to you and what your expectation is. So what we're going to be doing is getting ready to pray for those who would like prayer.